Well, it's a great blessing to be able to work through the Westminster Shorter Catechism. This evening, we're at question and answer 98 and 99. Question and answer 98 and 99. You can find those in the back of your hymnal on page 975. Page 975. This evening, I'm going to read question 98 and 99. What is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will in the name of Christ with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. What rule has God given for our direction in prayer? The whole Word of God is of use to direct us in prayer. But the special rule of direction is from that form of prayer which Christ taught His disciples, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Well, it's worth pointing out that the last 20 questions of the Catechism teach on the ordinary means of grace, the Word, Sacrament, and prayer. And the last 10 questions are about prayer in particular. And this highlights how important prayer was to our Presbyterian forefathers. And the reason it was so important is because prayer is an act of worship and a means of grace. And it's that part of worship that speaks wonderfully of God's desire to share intimate communion and fellowship with His blood-bought saints. And so prayer is first, we're told, an offering up our desires unto God. And this is speaking of the kind of petitions we make. But even before we get to that, the first thing to notice is that prayer is only made to the triune God. Just as worship belongs exclusively to God, genuine prayer is made exclusively to God. Prayer to any other creature is false prayer. Whether it's the prayer of pagans crying out to Baal, as we'll see this evening when we return to our study in 1 Kings, or even if it's prayer to Mary or other saints, as we find among our Roman Catholic friends, that's biblically wrong. And incidentally, well-taught Catholics would say they don't pray to Mary or the saints. They simply ask Mary and other saints to pray on their behalf. And that's really a distinction without a difference. No matter how you slice it, they're putting a creature in the mix between the one praying and the triune God we're to pray to. And there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for us all. That's also why our catechism helpfully reminds us that we pray in the name of Christ. The very reason for Christ coming to die on the cross was to open up a new and living way for us. It was to open up a way for us to come to God. We don't need better saints than we are to help us in our prayers because we have an all-sufficient Christ. We come in His name based on His authority and the fact that He's gained for us access to the throne of grace. Now, in terms of the petitions that we offer in our prayers, this is something we're going to explore in coming weeks in some detail. But I do want to briefly touch on some of the things the Catechism mentions this week. First, our prayers are to be agreeable to God's will. That is, we can only ask for things that are lawful according to Scripture, according to God's revealed will. That's how the Catechism means it. And that's really what question and answer 99 is picking up on. If we want to know how we are to pray rightly, we need to search the whole Word of God to direct us in prayer. The Bible, in many ways, is a giant prayer book. You have recorded prayers from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. And all those prayers that we read from all those different saints are there to instruct us. And as we're going to see in a few moments, one of those prayers comes in Elijah's showdown on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. God was pleased to use his prayer to demonstrate his supremacy. And to that end, it serves as a part of our instruction on learning how to pray. And of course, we get the master's class in prayer in what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. And that's what the Catechism uses to form the remainder of its lessons. We also want to notice that our prayer should include confession of sin and a thankful acknowledgement of God's mercies. That is, we pray as men and women who are utterly dependent on the gospel. We know what our sins deserve, and we know what God's grace and mercy has bestowed upon us. So we pray in an intentional way that exalts God's gospel, because we recognize it's through the gospel that wretched sinners are pardoned and cleansed and have gained access to the heavenly throne room. And not just any access, but access as adopted sons and daughters. That's our gospel access. The way to heaven is opened for the children of God, for blood-bought saints. And when we pray, our Father hears us. We'll begin next week unpacking the Lord's Prayer. But for now, let's continue praising the Lord, standing to sing number 518. 518, Come My Soul.